Morning, everybody.
What?
We are Ve'etchanan, Parashat Ve'etchanan, Chapter Gimel. Ve'etchanan el Hashem ba'et ahi le'emor. Here, the first pasuk teaches us how to pray to God. In what way do we do it? Ve'etchanan is to plead, is to come to God. Or Chaim HaKadosh explains, is to come to God from a humble point of view, like a poor that is standing in front of a rich. And this is ve'etchanan, not coming from a point of view of pride, but from humbleness, like a poor guy that stands in front of God. This is the way you should daven, you should pray.
Humble.
El Hashem, humble. El Hashem, only to God. We don't pray to nobody. Only to God. No tzaddik, no, of course, not stones and idols and other things, but also not to the tzaddikim. We pray only to God. El Hashem. Even if we go, and we have to understand this is a very crucial point. When we go to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai or Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai or all the tzaddikim, the Rambam, the Rabbah, whatever it is, we don't pray to them. We pray to God. So why do we go there? We can pray to God anywhere. You don't have to go to the great tzaddikim.
Excuse me, interrupting. But we do ask our departed souls, like our father or mother, to Zion a good and better, to be a good in
a melitz yosher. That's a different thing. We don't pray to them. We ask them that their rights and their good deeds are going to stand for us. And especially if it's a father or a mother, and they do did this, of course it's going to help you. Also, we can help them. We can elevate them with our good deeds. That's also an important point on that. That's why we do Yahrzeit. That's why we light a candle. That's why we say Tehillim or pray on a Yahrzeit. Why? Because we elevate the neshama. Everything good that we do in this world, especially if we're talking about our parents, they brought us to this world. They educated us. In other words, we are the result of their deeds. So if we do good, it means that they did good. Unfortunately, it can go always the wrong side, but we are talking about the good side. So, even if we go to a kever of a tzaddik, we pray to God. So, why do we go to a kever of a tzaddik? Because where a tzaddik is buried, there are good things happening. In other words, he's got a lot of right. He did a lot of good. And there is an asset, what we call havla de garme. It's like this thing that from this is always a connection, people don't, between the body here and the neshama up there. There is a connection. Even after everything is finished, there is still a connection. This is the connection that when Tchiyat HaMitim is going to happen, all the dead are going to get alive. So there must be a connection. So the connection is there. So that's why it's so important in Judaism to keep the graves, to keep the sanctify of a bet kvarot, because we believe that the people that are there, they still connected. In other words, there is something there from their neshama, a path that is connected to the neshama. So we have to act accordingly. That's why we go to where tzaddikim are being buried, because there we have a lot of rights and there is a good connection to God. But we pray to God. This is the second thing. The third thing is ba'et a'i, at that specific time. In other words, there are times to daven. There is a time for shacharit, there is a time for mincha, there is a time for mariv, there is a time for Shabbos prayers, there is a time for Rosh Hashanah prayers, for Aseret Yemei Tshuva. In other words, there is a time for every prayer. So this is also an important time that we have to understand if we want our prayers to go up to heaven, and the best way, so we have to do those conditions. So this leads the tefillah directly to God. Then, Ba'et Hanan, humbleness. El Hashem, only to God. Ba'et Ha'i, at the right time. Le'emor. And I have to say exactly what I want. Be specific. Don't talk generally. Because you got the power of speech in order to use it, especially in tefillah. In other words, when you ask for something, ask what you want. But be very careful. That's the what he's saying. He says, I want, this is a famous midrash we talked about in the past, about this guy going in the desert. This Jewish guy going in the desert is very, very tired, thirsty, tired, he's got no koach anymore. Ask God, please send me a donkey. Okay? A donkey. There were no cars that time. Well, no, I want a donkey. Okay. At the same time, this Bedouin is going in the desert with his donkey, or a female donkey, gave birth to a small donkey. And this small donkey cannot walk properly, and he doesn't know what to do. Suddenly he sees this Jew. Says, hey, hey, come here. And he puts the small donkey on the back of the Jew. So he asked for a donkey. He wanted to ride the donkey, but now the donkey is riding him. So you have to be careful what you ask. What you're asking for. And how you ask. So everything, that's why we say, letova, for the good. So it's like people sometimes ask, well, I want $1 million. Who said it's good for you? It sounds good. I want a beautiful car. Okay, it sounds very good. It's like a baby, a small kid, he wants sweets. He already had I don't know how many sweets, he wants more sweets. And we all know as parents that if we give him more sweets, what's going to happen? It's going to affect him badly. So we don't give it to him. Not because we don't want to give it to him. Not because we don't listen to him. Because we know it's not good for him. So even if we pray, that's the power of prayer. The Seitz Ve'et Hanan. So Moshe Rabbeinu is praying to God. And God tells him, eventually, stop. Al tosef daber elai od badavar hazeh. Don't stop praying. Why? Because if you're going on praying, what I'm going to give you what you ask. But what you're asking is no good for Am Yisrael. He says, I swore two things. One, that you are going to die. At the time, this is the gezerah for me. And then I also had another gezerah, if Am Yisrael going to sin, they're also going to die. Now, if I take you into Eretz Yisrael, the Midrash says it differently, but that's the idea. If I take you to Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to build Beis HaMikdash, and then when the time will come, Chas V'Sholem, and Am Yisrael will sin, as it happened, I cannot destroy the temple, I have to destroy Am Yisrael. In other words, you choose. If you go on to pray another time, I'm going to let you go into Eretz Yisrael. But you have to understand, it means that you are going to go into Eretz Israel and live, but Am Israel are going to pay for it, says Moshe Rabbeinu. Even one heir of Am Israel don't want to be destroyed. So I'm staying here. This is Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is the power of prayer. This is the lesson for us is that sometimes we pray, oh, God didn't listen to us. First of all, who knows if it's good for us? Secondly, God wants you to pray more. Maybe there is something there in heaven we don't know exactly what. So don't lose hope. Go on praying. Go on asking. And eventually, as we see, you can even change a gzerah from Shammai. If God decided something, you can change it. But always ask for the good that is going to be letova. Because otherwise, unfortunately, who knows what's going to happen. I cannot go on with the shiur without talking about what happened on this Tisha B'Av, which was Asiri B'Av.
What happened on the cartel?
That's what happened in the opera was afterwards. But it is a result of something that happened on Tisha B'Av when we fasted. You know what was happening in Eretz Israel? In Eretz HaKodesh? There was a demonstration of the I don't know how you call it in English, the gays and the transvestites and whatever they call it. I'm not getting into the point if they right or wrong. That's another issue, which I think is wrong, by the way. But to do this on Tisha B'Av,
it's crazy.
This is disgusting. This is terrible. I'm telling you, I'm feeling so hurt because of it. We'll talk about the restaurant opening. You know what? We'll talk about the restaurant opening.
It's law, in fact. Yeah. The thing is,
against the law, not against the law. This is, we talk about Ve'ahavta le'reacha kamocha. So sometimes we put the Ve'ahavta le'reacha kamocha in a frame that is evil, no good. Ve'ahavta le'reacha kamocha has got a meaning. The meaning is not do whatever you want or love all the Michiganers of the world. That's not the idea of Ve'ahavta le'reacha kamocha. Ve'ahavta le'reacha kamocha is to understand the difficulties of the others and try and solve the problems if they are, but definitely not agree to something which is wrong and rotten. And to go out on the streets and demonstrate on a day like this for rights of gays and lesbians, I'm sorry to tell you, it's not only against the Torah, it's against normal moral. Your sex life shouldn't be on the street, I'm sorry to tell you. And if you have, like they say, it's a natural behavior. Some people, says 5% of the population are gays and lesbians. I says, you know what? Okay.
So what?
So what?
Stay in the class.
90% of the population want to have relationship with the other spouse, with women and men and women, because they have the desire to do it. Don't we have it? So if I desire to have my friend's wife,
that's not
it's
nice,
natural. But it's natural. It's natural. No, it's not natural.
No.
I want something that you've got. Is it natural?
No.
Yes. No, it is natural. But I'm not allowed to do it. I'm not allowed to take it from you. This, you know, to have this thing, it's natural. So what? So if it's natural, it's allowed? We want a lot of things, which is our nature. Yetzer lev ha'adam ra mineurav. It's written. Yetzer hara is with us from the day we are born. And he wants a lot of things. So imagine to yourself that we allow our nature, yetzer hara, to do whatever he wants. You know how the world will look?
Terrible.
Terrible. You can look around. What they do with our neighbors, killing each other. Raping, killing, stealing, everything. This is how we want the world to look. So an excuse of its natural, this is nature, that is no excuse. Sorry. No excuse. Now, suddenly, a stone, a big stone, falls from where?
From
the Kotel HaMa'aravi, Srit Bet Mikdashenu. And you tell me, Even Mikir Dizak, says the Habakkuk, a stone will shout, will cry from the wall. How does a stone cry? Yesterday we saw it.
Yeah.
You mean it actually happened?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yesterday morning, yesterday, a big stone like this fall from the Kotel, yes, near a woman that was praying. It was like this distance between her and the stone. And if it would fall on her, she would be killed on the spot.
But it wasn't the Kotel. It was this.
It is a part of the Kotel. Let's put things on there. You know, we can. Yeah. You know, like today, they're telling, no, it's something problem with the engineering. Engineering. 2,000 years it's there. Engineering. And no, it was wet or this. You always can find natural reasons, always.
It fell also with arguing the reform people want that.
Yeah. I didn't finish saying. It fall exactly on the place where they want to put this special place, yeah, where the reform want to daven, men and women together. So you tell me that God is not talking with us.
Of course.
I've
actually been there to Bar Mitzvah. Our first cousin came from America with his son. They're conservative. I didn't know what to do. My son said to me, "You should go to the Bar Mitzvah. You're not doing a."
No, we all have those problems. You see, in my family, I haven't got, sorry to tell you, lesbians. I have lesbians in my family. What can I do? My wife's family, one of the close relatives, is lesbian. So what? It doesn't justify it. So you have this problem. Okay, keep it to you. Keep it to you. Nobody's telling you, okay, we are not coming to them and tell them, stop it. We're only asking them, don't put it in front of our eyes. I don't want my kids to see those things and think that it's natural. You know, I'm thinking about it. How was it? No, I told you once that there was this guy, a real story that they tell about an officer in the English army. He was a big general. He was at the end. Don't know how big he was, but the minute he was released from the army, he left England and went to a far away island. And everybody was amazed because they thought that he's going to go into politics and be one of the big shots because he was a very clever guy. And they wanted him. So they sent a delegation to him asking, why did you go away? We want you to be a part of the politics. And they says, I'll tell you why. When I got in the army, to be gay was not only not allowed, if they caught somebody, they would have killed him. Then when I got I've been a sergeant, they didn't kill the gays, but they were not accepted in the army. They looked at them like outsiders. And when I got on my rank as an officer, they already were allowed to go into the army. So when I got to the high-level officer, I also had a few of them with me. So I told them myself, you know, I better off leave this place before they force me to be also gay. And you don't, you're laughing. You do force. I tell you how. When you have a kid that grows up and he sees that it is normal to do it this way and whatever you want. Now, this world is a world that's built, unfortunately, on satisfactions. Quick satisfaction. I want more, more, more. I want everything. I enjoyed something. I want another thing. So if there is no excitement anymore, so everything is allowed. So they look for new excitements. You look all over the world what people are doing. This young couple that went to Honduras or whatever from Ranana and did this Omega thing, whatever it was, risking their life. I don't know what, and one died and the other one is still in hospital, the wife. And, you know, you look at things, they do bungee and all those crazy things. Why? They want excitement. I didn't see a rabbi going to do bungee or Omega. Why? Because he's got his excitement in from the Torah. He doesn't need any more excitement. If you have a good family and you go the right way, you did not, believe me, you have enough of excitement in your own family.
Oh, yeah.
You don't need any more.
Now that there's a movement in America that doesn't want to say the sex of the baby, there's a new movement called babies. And the child, when they're 4 years old, they must decide if they want to be a boy or a girl.
I used to be disgusted at the thought of two men or two women together.
Yeah.
Then somebody gave me a book. It's called Your Stolen Planet or something.
Stolen Planet.
I think it's the Stolen Planet. I'm not sure. I've got it somewhere still. And after that, I started looking it up. According to this, more and more people are born with problematic. They're not here and they're not there due to the fact that the water that we drink is polluted, the air that we drink is polluted, the food that we eat is polluted, and it's a hormone problem. In some families, there are three men who are gay and three men who are not gay. And they've tested them. And their hormones, those that are gay, are different from the ones who are not gay. It's a matter of, this is not just a thing that I think it'll be fun. is that born with a feeling that they're a girl or a boy, or they don't like girls or they don't like boys, and they can't help it. It's not only because they're fun, it's because they're
I want. I want to tell you something. I didn't read this survey. I don't know if it's true or not true. But the thing is, you see, we all are born with certain genetic things.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that we are allowed to do whatever we want. That's the point. The point is, we came to this world for a fight.
Right.
We have to understand it. This world is a test.
Yes.
This world is only a passageway to the next world.
Right.
That's what it is. We are here in a film. And we have to do, let's say, we always talk about this. We get tools from God. Some of the tools are that I have this urge, like to other men. Or I have, as a woman, an urge to another woman. Or I have an urge to have possessions, a lot of possessions. I have a urge to, I'm getting very, I've got, a very short
temper.
And there are a lot. Each one of us got a different thing. It doesn't mean that we walk around the street and we do whatever we want. We have to control it. Because God, we believe that God gave us also the tools to deal with it. Now, if the Torah is telling us, for example, that it's not allowed to a man to go with another man, it means it's not. Now, this is not a interpretation. It's not looking deep into the Torah. It's right written very clear, black on white. Not Mishkav Zachar is not allowed. So, even if I have the urge, I'm not allowed to do it.
Okay.
The same way that I have an urge as a man to be with women, and women have the urge to be with men, normally, it doesn't mean that we can go with whoever we want. The Torah, the Goyim, can do whatever they want. We don't care about them at this case. And this is the problem. Instead of the Goyim learning from us,
We learn
from the Goyim. And we also exceed them. We are much better than them. Like what was happening yesterday was international for Israel. And this is unbelievable.
Yeah, that's what I object to. Anybody's sex life is absolutely private.
Exactly.
Nobody else should
exactly. And nature or no nature. Now, the other problem is, and I must tell it to you, you have to understand, when you are being growing up in a society which everything is allowed, you want to try. That's life. You have excitement from one thing, you want to have an excitement. You see, nobody wants to, chas v'sholom, go on a bungee and kill himself. But they need want the excitement. So if a young guy sees that to be with, as a gay, it's something that is acceptable, and also they told him, wow, it's a nice thing, you can enjoy it. Why shouldn't he try it? You tell me. Why not? And believe there are people that are heterosexual.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
Both.
They go with both. Why? Because sex is in your head. That's what it is. It's all in your head. Now, if I'll take you and brainwash you, believe me, you do things that you don't even believe. And the thing is that if we go back in history, if there was a picture of a half-naked woman on the street, we would say, not good.
Yes.
It's today, we don't even look at it.
Not
it's normal. It's normal.
We are heterosexual. We are.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. No, I'm saying that today, to be with men and women,
it's not heterosexual.
It's
bisexual.
Sorry, bisexual. Bisexual.
The question is, where did all these gays come from?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And so it's not.
Facebook.
No, it's quite interesting. I went to a Chabad lecture by a psychiatrist who was a Baal Teshuva in Chabad. And he said he had a practice in London with yeshiva or Jerusalem, I don't remember, with yeshiva students. They would come to him. They, you know, they had
problems.
Urges to.
Yes.
He told them, he told them that they've got to live with it.
Yes.
His therapy was to it was designed to make them. He didn't deny they had these urges, but that they should.
The Torah doesn't deny it. The Torah doesn't deny it. The Torah tells you There are Yetzer, Lev, Adam. That's as simple as it is. Yeah. Yetzer, Lev, Adam, Ra, Minura. We all have our desires. Each one of us. But it doesn't mean that we can do what we want to do.
But don't you think that part of the problem is having segregated school systems? Girls' schools only and boys' school only. So they have the urges to do...
I'm not a specialist on education, so I'm not going to go into this issue. There are, certainly, there are some problems that they don't like. If you live in the ultra-Orthodox community and they don't let you to have even a connection with girls, and then suddenly you have to get married with one and you don't even know how to deal with it, and they have special lessons, by the way, to deal with it, and sometimes it doesn't work because of it, but I'm not going to go into it. What I'm saying is, everybody can fight with those things in a way he thinks is right, as long as he understands that he has to fight. That there is a fight, and it's not that this world is efker. You can do whatever you want to. And regarding Tisha B'Av, you're talking about Tisha B'Av. There was a famous story, I don't know if I told you, 200 years ago in Egypt, the Jews got what they call, let's say, the right to control the community religiously. In other words, the rabbi had power from the government to even arrest people that didn't listen to him on the point of view, from the religious point of view, marriage and other things. And at that time, there was this baker who had a very good bakery. And before Tisha B'Av, like today, he put a sign on this shop, "Open on Tisha B'Av. Evening on Tisha B'Av, I'm open. Everybody can come and buy." The rabbi, of course, sent messengers to him and says, "I ask him you to close the bakery. We are fasting on Tisha B'Av, and it's not suitable and not right to sell food to Jews." I says, "I'm not Jews. It doesn't matter. Jews are going to come. It's a kosher place. The goyim are going to come, but also the Jews are going to come. Not everybody is a tzaddik, you know. And you are just standing in front of them and selling all those beautiful cakes and other things." And he says, "No, I'm not listening." And Tisha B'Av came and he opened the shop. The rabbi sent to him again a message and says, "Please close the shop, close the bakery." He says, "Why?" He says, "This is Tisha B'Av. Why? I have to lose money because of something that happened 1,900 years ago?" And he kept on. Okay, the rabbi didn't do anything. A month came forth, another month, and then came the month of Adar, before Purim, and suddenly two policemen on the door of the bakery, "Are you Mr. This and This?" He says, "Yes, you are arrested." He says, "Why?" "I don't know, the rabbi asked to arrest you. You have any question, send him a letter." They arrest him, and he's sitting waiting. What is he charged? Nobody's telling him anything. He's in jail, and Purim is approaching. Now, Purim was his best time of the year. He did business in 1 week for half a year, because all the rich guys of Cairo used to come to him, because he was specialized. He got to buy all the potifus and all the good cakes and shloach manot, for the shloach manas. And he's sitting there in jail, and time is coming, he's plotting, he's counting the money he's losing. And Purim comes, he hears the noise of Haman and all the things outside, and nobody releases him. Then, in the afternoon of Purim, after everything is already finished, he is being released. What do you think he does the first thing?
Open the shop.
He runs to the rabbi. And he comes to the rabbi. Goes in and says, "Rabbi, why did you arrest me? You know how much money I lost?" He says, "What do you mean, why did you arrest you? You remember on Tisha B'Av you opened the shop? That's why I arrested you." He says, "Tisha B'Av was a long time ago. Why didn't you arrest me then?" He says, "You told me that you don't want to lose money because of something that happened 1,900 years ago. So I said, if you don't want to lose money for something that happened 1,900 years ago, you also don't have to make profit on something that happened 2,200 years ago."
I just wanted to share something with you. When I was when a degradation of 20 and 30, I had the poorhouse problem. And I very much wanted to get married,
because of the health problems I was inflicted, Mary. I had a very, very big Sahara like a man to go and sleep with a man. I never ever gave into that Yetzirah. I knew you're not allowed to do it. And Baruch Hashem, God took pity on me and helped me to overcome my Yetzirah.
Baruch Hashem.
Now I'm 50 years old. And now I'm free to marry because I had 4 years ago, I had the full recovery.
Baruch Hashem.
And I'm developing my abilities and I'm leading an independent life. And now I'm free for marriage.
Very good.
And the other thing I want to tell you, we went on celebrity cruises. And you know what they had on celebrity cruises? A pride party. Now they can go with celebrities.
This is the world. This is the world we're living in, and this is exactly what we have to. We as believers have to understand and realize. Yes, there is nature. There are desires, and it doesn't matter what it is. If it's men to men, women to women, or men to women, or women to men, or it's to steal something, or to have something that belongs to you, or to murder somebody. You can call it whatever it is. We have to control our desires. That's why we're here. We are not saints and we are not angels. We are being put in this world in order to do something good. And this is why I started with Ve'et Hanan. Alone, believe me, it's very hard and almost impossible to fight Yetzer Hara. Because he is much stronger than us. So how do we fight him? Ve'et Hanan el Hashem ba'et ahi le'emor. Praying to God. Only with praise we can fight Yetzer Hara. And when we pray to God and really mean it, God is going to help us. Oh, of course, here we can fall, but God is there for us and he's going to help us and lead us to the right way as long as we go on the right passage and understand what is allowed and what is not allowed.
There's only one thing that I want to say about if they are heterosexual or they're bisexual, the thing is that when they want to get married and they want to adopt a child, what happens to this poor child who has to live in that environment?
But that's why they decided not to allow it. Not because of anything else, but it's for the boy, for the child.
That's right.
Not for the parents.
That's the only thing.
This is an egoistic. It's the egoistic thing. I want a grandson for my gay son. I want a son, this gay couple says. We want children. So what if you want? Is it good for the child or not? So they saying, yes, it's good. I must tell you. No, unfortunately, I want to talk about a lot of other things, but the time is finished. So you have to understand and realize it's not easy. It's very complicated. But that's why we're going according to the Torah and we're listening to the Torah. Because otherwise, we will do whatever we want to and the world will look this way and we don't want the world to look like this. To be gay or to be a lesbian or to be straight, that's not the case. The case is, you have a problem, you have to deal with the problem. You don't make something wrong right because you want it to be right. Because it's not right. And, okay, it's natural, you have your urges, you have your desires, so what? You have to fight them. Because, for example, they say that sometimes for a couple to the divorce is the best thing for the kids.
Never.
But if you check the kids, you can say whatever you want. Is it good for the kids or is it wrong? And we all know it. But still, people getting divorced. Okay, sometimes there is no other option. But today, everything is very easy. So it's not the case. I must say it again and again. I'm not talking about gays or lesbians. I'm talking about nature. I'm talking about us in this world fighting against our nature, which is leading us to a wrong place. In simple words, our fight against Yetzer Hara. Each one of us, which is on Yetzer Hara. And sometimes we have to look at the picture and see what is the wrong side in order to make right. And I'm saying that's the lesson for us. To see what's going on around. And then God is putting this stone suddenly falling from the Kotel HaMaaravi on the place which they want to make as their place. And telling us, wake up. Wake up. And this is the idea. So how do we wake up? Ve'itchanan el Hashem ba'et ani. Wake up is to see the wrong side, understand that it is wrong, and pray to God to help us go through it in the best way we can. And the best way is to spread love. I'm not going to say go fight or go do this or other things. Love. And love that comes from the right place and goes to the right place. I don't have to agree with everything and call it love, because it's not love. The same way as they call their parade Mitzad HaGa'avah. Yeah. Is this Ga'avah? I am Ge'eh that I am Jewish. That I go, I try to go according to the laws of the Torah.
But this is why we as heterosexuals don't go in a parade and say I'm a heterosexual.
I talked about it in the past. We don't go on the street hugging our men, or the husband and wives, and say, "Hey, I'm hetero," and who knows what else they do. I don't want to say, talk about this, because it doesn't exactly, a parade doesn't exactly look pure. Okay, we all know how it looks. Just showing you, this is Yetzer Hara.
Mark, would you say something very important? I was very close to a Hasidic rabbi who unfortunately passed away. Zechatav Livracha, what he told me when he got married to his wife at 17, he didn't have a Yetzer Hara for women. He raised a beautiful child, a family. He's got very good children, and his son is now my rabbi, and he invited me to the bar mitzvah of his son. The point I'm making, you don't have to know about anything about sex at all if you're engaged and get married.
And I said, the thing is, even if you know or don't know, you still have the fight. And that's the thing. It doesn't. There is no excuse that I have the urge. That's what I'm saying. You got it or you don't got it, okay. But even if you got it, that's no excuse. Bezrat Hashem, yes, you have to live with it. Pray to God. Vayitchanan Hashem ba'etei. That's going to help us with our own Yetzer Hara. And maybe if we can also to help others. Baruch Hashem.
And on the other hand, there's more learning.